Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
Are you looking to serve God and society? Consider putting your gifts to work as a lawyer. Ave Maria School of Law has been educating faith-filled lawyers for over 20 years. Ave Maria School of Law is committed to training lawyers to use law appropriately around the moral issues of our time. Visit avemarialaw.edu to learn more about integrating your faith with a law degree.
Looking for a way to build daily prayer discipline? Seen the rise in mindfulness meditation, but not sure if it is possible to meditate in a way that's consistent with your Catholic faith? Just looking for a way to breathe new life into your existing prayer routine? No matter what you're looking for, Hollow is here to help. Hollow is a Catholic prayer and meditation app that helps users deepen their relationship with God through audio-guided contemplative prayer sessions. From meditations on the daily gospel, to the rosary, to daily examines, Hollow has something for everyone. Hollow is the number one Catholic app in the U.S. It is free to download and has permanently free content, but you can also check out all of the premium sessions for 30 days, risk-free, by signing up at www.hollow.app/breadbox.
Aloha, welcome to the Bear Wozniak Adventure. I'm your adventure guide, Bear Wozniak. Today we have a returning guest, which we don't often do. We have Keith Nestor, who was the pastor of one of the largest churches in his city, and then kept getting tapped on his shoulder and came under the conviction of the Holy Spirit that he needed to become Catholic. I know he must have been concerned, what am I going to do? This is my whole life, was to be a Protestant pastor. Am I going to find any ministry opportunity, or what's God going to do? And he's busier than about anybody I know. God's got him just totally empowered and on the move. We'll be right back with our guest, Keith Nestor.
Welcome to the Bear Wozniak Adventure. Kickstart that engine and roll thunder with the pack. Explore the grittiness of manly spirituality. Gain traction in the virtues. Soup up your spiritual engine by turning adversity into adventure. Now here's Bear Wozniak. Let's ride.
Aloha and welcome to the Bear Wozniak Adventure. I'm your adventure guide, Bear Wozniak. You know, we've noticed during this last year something significant with the whole corona crisis here in Hawaii. What's become real apparent to me is something actually quite phenomenal. In Hawaii, the family is still a very connected group. You know, when I walk down the beach, a man 10 years younger than me will always call me uncle. And there's still kind of like that company of men, even that kind of uncle, the younger men, and the same with the women. And the concept of ohana is not just a concept. When you look at the beach right now, there's no tourists, but there's tents set up all up and down Waikiki Beach with families, with their children and their extended families, all enjoying a day at the beach. And the thing that my wife specifically notices how there's still a company of men here. The men still gather. Maybe it's because the mana, though, is in the mana'o, the power and the wisdom, is being shared, whether it's wave knowledge or fishing knowledge or work or whatever skill men have. There's just this sort of gathering of men. The men still, it's not just drinking beer and watching a football game. They're engaged in doing things, and there's formation going on. There's that rite of passage that the young men go through here. Sometimes that rite of passage is just paddling out with uncle their first time at Waimea Bay when it's 20 foot plus. But what we've noticed during this crisis is that the fathers with their children, we see fathers walking down to the beach carrying the surfboards, and one or two or three keiki walking behind them carrying their little surfboards. And it's the mothers are often there too, but we're seeing the hearts of the fathers turn towards their children and the children towards their fathers, the last book of the Old Testament. And I will turn the hearts of the fathers to their sons and the hearts of the sons to their fathers. And in Deuteronomy, God says, I will carry you like a father carries his son. And so it's not just a father towards his children and the father's special relationship with their daughters. But right now, if you look at the wildness that's going on in the street, it's like as if there are no adult males around to show the young men what a man is. When my son ministered over in Nepal They had to have lookouts up in the jungle trees surrounding the villages. And Shane said, why? Well, he said, because they've come in and killed all the adult males, and there's nothing to control or to show the young males how to behave, and they're going crazy. They'll run right through our huts. So it's time for men to really be a model, not just by example. That's, of course, the most important, lead by example. But you need to get a hold of your sons, and you need to have deep conversations with your sons about their relationship with God and about the virtues, how to live a life of virtue. We have Keith Nestor with us today. I love Keith Nestor. He's a man's man. I'm going to lift up the book for those of you who are watching on our YouTube version, The Convert's Guide to Roman Catholicism. And it's a picture of Keith looking up. And there's a huge cross from Ash Wednesday. You know, sometimes they make a little one, but this priest just nailed him, you know, like a big old bold cross on his head. And he's looking up at it like, so what's going on here, you know? And he's talking about his first year in the church. First year in the church, he was probably kind of like, what's going on? And the second year, it's like, oh my gosh, I have too much ministry to deal with. So we're so proud of you, Keith, for the stand you made in your faith. And welcome to the Bear Wozniak Adventure.
Thanks, Bear. It's so great to be back here. And I remember coming on your show before, and that was really, I was just in the beginning stages of writing that book. And we talked about some of the titles of the chapters. And now here we are over a year later, and it's out there. And
I've seen you on EWTN. And well, you've been on the journey home, right, dude?
Correct. Yeah.
Okay, so there you go. You are Nihil Obstat. You are the, you know, if you, they won't let me on Journey Home, you know, so there you go. You've arrived if you've been on. I love that show, don't you?
I love it. It's that was a show that for me was pivotal to my own conversion. I used to watch that show a lot back, and that was even back before, you know, we really had YouTube and things like that. You had to like go to a website and type it in.
Yeah, you know what? Me too. I watched as I was making my return trip, you know, it was Stephen Ray's book, The Early Church Fathers and the Journey Home, that just, I was riveted by that show. Did you get to meet Matt Swaim out there?
Yeah, I did. Matt's a great guy, and I got to spend quite a bit of time with him.
Yeah, he's a character, isn't he?
Yeah.
He's smart, isn't he? He's a smart guy.
He's pretty smart.
Let's say something bad about him so we can harass him. I guess the biggest problem is that he's a Reds fan. I think it's just... Boston Red Sox or Cincinnati Reds? I always mess with it.
I think I don't know. I mean, they spend a lot of time in Ohio, but I think he lives on like near Washington, D.C. or something.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It could be anything.
I'm with him every Monday morning on the Sunrise Morning Show for 5 minutes, which is really fun.
Great.
It's really fun because I'm in Hawaii. That means I get up at 12:30 in the middle of the night to be on their show for 5 minutes.
I'm actually going on a podcast with him tomorrow night from Canada. So I'll be sure to let him know that you were hassling him a little bit on here.
Yeah, let's make sure. Yeah, I got to hassle him. Just tell him I called him the rookie.
The rookie. I will do that. But it was a great experience going on the journey home. Just to be sitting there in that seat where I've watched so many other people share their journey, to be there in that place. The Lord just really humbled me in that, because, you know, when I left my ministry, like you kind of mentioned it, I just was like, well, this is over for me. I'm done ministering in any kind of public way because I want to be Catholic. And I didn't feel like those two things necessarily were going to come to a head again, but I just walked step by step into the Lord's church and was okay with that. And now he's brought it back in a way that I've never even could have imagined.
Have you been to EWTN studios yet in Alabama?
No.
Well, I'll tell you, I identify with you so much, because when I first went there, I was kind of on a discovery mission of my own. You know, I was trying to figure out what's really going on. I could feel the Lord was moving me, propelling me. And I walked in there, and there's this beautiful portrait of Mother Angelica as you walk into the reception area. It's a big, big, bigger-than-life portrait. And she's just looking back at you with her hands folded, and she's smiling at you like, where have you been? And I know something you don't know. Like, God's got something up his sleeve. And that's the feeling I have for you, because your obedience and your faithfulness, and watch how the Lord has just propelled you. It's so beautiful to see.
Wow, I appreciate that. I feel like, you know, when you become a Catholic, and I talk about this in my book, but one of the things you're going to hear a lot is people say, welcome home. And that's a weird thing to hear in a place you've never been before. But when you recognize what people mean by that, and you recognize that your home isn't so much about where you've been before, but it's about where you belong.
Mm.
And the truth of the Catholic faith that as a believer in Christ, you are now where he always intended you to be. And that's a powerful way to understand that expression, isn't it, Bear? When someone says, welcome home, and you've never, it's kind of like what it's going to be like when we arrive in heaven, Lord willing. And the Lord says to us, welcome home. We've never been there either, but yet that's where we belong more than anywhere else we've ever been.
It's like Father Robert Spitzer's books on the upper yearning of the soul. I think it's the different things we long for: justice, beauty, love, truth, but a sense of going home. And I know, like for me, when I'm out surfing in Waikiki at a place called Pops, a quarter mile out, at sunset, and the ocean is the sun is reflecting on the ocean so that the golden wave as it breaks looks like lava. And I look at Diamond Head in the distance and the fire of the tiki torches being lit at the beach. I go, this feels so great. This is when no place else on earth I'd rather be, but it still doesn't feel quite like home. I know there's someplace else. I know there's heaven. There's something in me that still yearns for that something else. But I'll tell you, my perspective on you is, you know, the new college football transfer portal, right? Where athletes can football players can transfer from one team to others. Like, as a Catholic, I'm like, oh man, did we ever need a linebacker? And and he just transferred in from Nebraska. You know, it's like, thank God we've got Keith on our team. We need you so much and your ministry so much. So we're just so thrilled that you're Catholic and you're with us.
Okay, so two things about that. First of all, I'm about half an hour away from Iowa City, home of the Hawkeyes.
Uh-oh. But
where I went to school, high school, is like right across the border from Nebraska. So there's a big Iowa-Nebraska thing going on there.
Yeah.
But if you ever met me, I don't think you would say a linebacker. You'd probably say something like, you know, maybe the water boy.
Yeah.
Because I'm like 5'6" and, you know, 170 pounds.
You come off like a King David or something. I mean, you just, you're the power of your commitment. There's just such a personal presence about you that we know when we talk with Keith that we're talking with a man of God. Keith Nestor has written this book, The Convert's Guide to Roman Catholicism. It's such a great book. Like, what do you do in the first year of being a Catholic? How do you survive that? And or how, what are all the, like, for example, the cover has a picture of him getting his ashes on Ash Wednesday. Like, what's that? And then he goes to, where do you go to? Perkins, I guess, over there for breakfast, and everyone's, and you forget you have the ashes on your head. And wait a minute, you were the pastor of, what are you doing? You were the pastor of that huge non-denominational church. Where can they find you, Keith? What's your best website to find you?
So my website is downtoearthministry.org, and the two is the number two. So downtoearthministry.org. Down to Earth is the ministry that I've started. And the purpose of that ministry, of course, is to communicate the truths of the Catholic faith in a clear, engaging and challenging manner, but in a way that's easy to understand.
Yeah, you do that so well. This is Bear Wozniak. We want to invite you guys to go to our website too, deepadventure.com. We want to invite the women. We have a new place for you on our website. It's called the Mama Bears. God really spoke to us real clearly. We needed to have a place there for the Mama Bears. It was like someone came up with that concept. The next day, my son walks up and goes, hey, Dad, remember in Montana when we had that cabin and we would see Mama Bears and just how fierce they were and how protective they were of their cubs and you know just how tough they were. So they're not like the mama bears in Goldilocks or in the Three Bears or whatever. Mama bears are fierce, and so we have a place for you on our website where we can equip you to help. First of all, I know you love all the teaching and all of our guests for yourself, but we can equip you and help you engage with the men in your lives. We'll give you some arrows for your quiver so that you can reach out to the men in your life. So go to deepadventure.com and find out more about the Mama Bears. We'll be right back with more of the Bear Wozniak Adventure. Mahalo for your kokua in supporting us. Deep Adventure Ministries is grateful to you, our listeners, for supporting the Bear Wozniak Adventure radio show at deepadventure.com. We would not be able to bring you our radio show with its uniquely powerful and gritty outreach without your help. You can become part of our pack. You can support our ministry by going to patreon.com/Bear Wozniak or by just going to deepadventure.com and clicking on the Patreon link and become a part of our outreach. That's deepadventure.com. Once again, mahalo for your kokua.
is a warning. The Bear Wozniak Adventure is dangerous. The radical change Bear challenges you to is not for wimps. Change this station now to a soft rock station before it's too late. You've been warned. Now, here is Bear Wozniak.
Aloha, welcome back to the Bear Wozniak Adventure. I'm your guide, Bear Wozniak. We have our co-adventure guide, Keith Nestor, with us, a recent convert to the Catholic Church. He's been on the journey home. It was so cool, man. I'm like, we got to interview Keith early on when he just had converted from being a pastor of a major church to converting to Catholicism and like free falling out of an airplane when you're skydiving, hoping the parachute opens. And then I see him on journey home and I'm like, whoa, and I just stopped me in my tracks and I just had to sit and watch the whole interview. But we're so glad that you're here with us, Keith. This book, The Convert's Guide to Roman Catholicism. What's the and I'm looking at just some of the chapter headings. What would you say are the three or four? It's like a cultural shock, first of all, right?
Yeah.
What's this with beads and ashes and kneeling and sitting and standing? So what's the first? What do you tell people that are asking you, hey, what's it like over there on that side of the fence? What do you tell them?
Well, I think the biggest thing is there's a lot of misconceptions that people have about what it's like to be a Catholic. And, you know, if you're a Protestant and, you know, when you go into the Catholic Church, the first thing that you're struck with is the silence, you know, and because you walk into like the church I used to be a pastor of and other different Protestant churches, and there's usually a lot of hype, there's energy, there's people talking, moving around, music playing, there's a countdown on the screen maybe, or things like that, and some kind of video playing or whatever. You walk into a Catholic church and it's like, it's almost like sometimes you feel like you're walking into a funeral.
Mm.
People are quiet and no one's talking. And maybe somebody greets you, maybe they don't. And you're like, what do I do? And there's like this weird sense. So I tell people, I'm like, look, you gotta, first of all, just wait, because as soon as the service starts or the mass starts, it's gonna get loud, you know? And because of all the kids in there and typically, it was funny because like in our churches, we would take all the kids out so that it could be quiet during the service, but we wanted it loud before. In the Catholic church, it's like the reverse, isn't it? It's like we want it quiet before, but then as soon as it starts, here are the kids. And
that's cool. Yeah, we like to go to early mass, like 6 a.m. mass here on Sundays, but my wife likes to go to the later mass because she just loves to hear the children crying. She just loves it.
Yeah. My wife is the same way. It makes her wish we had little kids again, you know. But I think the biggest thing is to recognize how Christ-centered the Mass is. And I know that for Catholics, they're going just, well, duh, of course. But the thing that you have to remember is that a lot of Protestants view the Catholic Church as this institution that's so full of tradition and just different things, but that there's really no Bible or there's no Jesus affiliated with it. Because for a lot of Protestants, everything is revolving around two things, the sermon and the music. And in the Catholic experience, it's about the Eucharist. Mm-hmm. Now, for Protestants who experience Catholicism for the first time, or people who are looking to convert or learn more about it when they go into the Mass, and there's all of this liturgy and ritual, it can be a little bit of a jolt to the system. But once you begin to pay attention and look into things and understand what's happening, your mind just gets blown. You go, whoa, this is something way deeper than I've ever been a part of, and more Christ-centered in it. And when I say Christ-centered, I don't mean like we just talk about Jesus. I mean like the entire focus of the Mass is literally centered on the person of Jesus Christ. There's nothing like it.
Mm.
It's absolutely amazing. So my book is really to help people to understand those types of transitions, but also the other types of transitions that are gonna happen when you show up and you don't know what you're doing necessarily, but what's it like? What does it feel like to be a Catholic? What's the culture like? And what are some of the differences you're going to experience? That's really what I wanted to capture in that essence, because if you go through some sort of RCIA program or a individualized program with your priest, like I did, then you get, you know, you just get dropped into the Mass and there's some things in the parish life. It's not just about the Mass, but just the life of a Catholic. There's some things that are just different. Different words are used. Different things are talked about. And, you know, it can be a little bit of a transition. So I really wanted to help converts in their transition with that.
You know, as a Catholic, going to Protestant masses too, or Protestant churches, I used to, back in the day, we would play music different places. And it'd be like, wow, there's something missing. You know, so it was a cultural shock for me on the other way to go. When does the Eucharist get celebrated? It just seemed like there was something that was missing so much, even though I didn't really understand the mystery of the Mass. What about people wearing funny clothes? The priest and everyone.
Well, here's the thing. Like, people wear funny clothes everywhere. You know, like, are you talking about like the priest? So yeah. I remember when I was like training to be a pastor, I was one of those guys. I'm like, I'm not wearing a robe. I want to be the everyday man. I want to be relatable to my congregation. If I'm wearing some kind of like dress or look like a Jedi, then people are going to look at me like I think I'm something special. So for me, at first I was kind of like, I knew that about the Catholic Church, but the type of Protestantism I came from, I was in the Methodist Church, but I was into contemporary worship. I wanted things to be informal and you know, really laid back. So for me, the idea of the priestly vestments and stuff, what happened was I started to understand where this comes from in the scripture. And you read in the Old Testament,
right,
vestments of the priests. And because here's what it boils down to, Bear. It boils down to this. The role of a priest is not to be the MC of a worship environment and give a motivational talk.
Right.
The role of a priest is to make sacrifice. Mm-hmm. And when you connect those two things with the, you know, that role and the historic role of the priests of the old covenant, and you recognize that the priests of the new covenant, they're doing the same thing. It's just one is the fulfillment of the other, but mm-hmm. the priesthood itself, it's still that sacrificial element of the Paschal mysteries of Christ. Then those things make a lot more sense. But when you strip that sacrificial element out of it, then of course there is no reason for a guy to wear a priestly vestment or to have an altar or to have a liturgy like that. So it's all about recognizing how all these things fit together. Then you start to go, oh wow, now I
every little thing in the Mass, every little statement in the different liturgies, every little thing that's done, you know, the four corners of the altar, everything is so nuanced, isn't it?
Yeah, and I'm still learning so much about it, and it's like when you really think about it and experience it, what happens to me oftentimes is I sit back and I have those moments with Christ, but then I think about it and I just go, man, all these poor people who've been raised in the Catholic Church that never really made that connection or understood that, and then have just left the church because why? Because they thought it was boring and not relevant to their life.
Yeah,
And I look at what are you leaving? What are you missing when you do that? Because really, who cares about what's relevant to your earthly life? What matters is what's relevant to your eternal life. And when we sacrifice those things which are eternal to gain those things which are earthly, it's like I just want to scream at Catholics all the time and say, don't you realize how amazing this is?
Have you ever trained in martial arts?
Yeah, I did Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu for 3 years.
So I've trained most of my life, not lately, but I'm trained. You have a ninja black belt, and I've trained in Jiu-Jitsu and things like that. You know what a wrist throw is?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know how easy it is? I was doing a demonstration of a wrist throw at a church in Florida at a men's conference, and I told this friend of mine, come up here, you're going to attack me with this knife, and I'm going to basically, you know, kill you with your own knife after doing a wrist throw. I did a wrist throw, and his gun in his pocket flew out of his pocket. This is Florida, right? He didn't know I was going to throw him that hard. A wrist throw is amazingly effective. It's one of my favorite things to do. And yet it's just that little... It's just that little motion. And you know, in martial arts, if you put your finger right here on the neck instead of right there, it's a totally different effect. The Catholic Church is like that. So many little things, like understanding Mary, or that's not a little thing, but so many little things. It's like a wrist throw. It seems so minute, but has such dramatic effects, you know. And so it's nuanced. The Catholic Church, from the big things to the little things, everything fits together so beautifully, and everything is you know what I'm trying to say? It's like a wrist throw.
Absolutely.
You don't, it doesn't take a lot of power on your part. It's just a little nuanced thing, but delivers a real impact. So everything about the Mass is just so the minutia of the Mass is not minutia, is what I'm trying to say. It's incredible.
It's a beautiful prayer, and it is a beautiful expression of not only our love for God, but God's eternal love for us. And I love the fact that it's universal, that it is worldwide, and that it's all centered on the person of Jesus Christ. It's a beautiful, beautiful expression.
Now, you go around the world. Like Cindy and I did a lot of traveling in the last several years, leading pilgrimages and stuff, going into you know, into Greece and East, you know, part of Eastern Europe and things like that, and going into Puerto Rico, you know, all different places. The Mass is the Mass. It's not like a McDonald's franchise, but it kind of is. You know, it's the same readings are being done in Greece as they're being done in Puerto Rico, they're being done in Hawaii. The Mass is just this each Sunday, each Mass, for those who don't know about the Catholic Church, the same readings of Scripture. There's a three-year thing that we go through, a three-year cycle, and every church in the world is reading the same Scriptures at the same time. So it's so beautiful. We're talking with Keith Nestor, a Protestant minister who left it all behind to become a Catholic, and now God's just really using him. What's your website again, Keith?
DownToEarthMinistry.org, and the two is the number two. So DownToEarthMinistry.org.
Down
and
to
you
earth
can find me on YouTube. Yeah.
Yeah, and DownToEarth.org. And what's your podcast?
It's called Catholic Feedback.
Is that what they look for on YouTube, Catholic Feedback, or your name?
Yeah, well, if you just go, yeah, you can look for Catholic Feedback. It's on all the places where podcasts are found as well. But yeah, if they just go to my YouTube channel, Keith Nestor, you'll find everything there.
We're talking with Keith Nestor. This is your adventure guide, Bear Wozniak. We'll be right back. Deep Adventure Ministries is grateful to Notre Dame Federal Credit Union for underwriting the Bear Wozniak Adventure on EWTN. Notre Dame Federal Credit Union provides car loans, mortgages, SBA loans, and depository accounts nationwide, as well as 24-hour support. Go to deepadventure.com to find their link, or go to notredamefcu.com. Mahalo to Notre Dame Federal Credit Union for making the Bear Wozniak Adventure possible.
Men, yes, we mean you. Go to deepadventure.com and check out Bear's Man Cave, a men's only Facebook group. Join the pack with other men as they challenge and inspire one another to manly virtue. Plus, you can dialogue with us in our regular video chat meetups. Plus, get your exclusive content. Join at deepadventure.com. That's deepadventure.com.
Aloha, welcome back to the Bear Wozniak Adventure. I'm your adventure guide, Bear Wozniak. We want to invite you guys, the men we're speaking to right now, if you're of confirmation age or older, to become a member of Bear's Man Cave. Women, you can get a membership for your husbands or your brother or your brother-in-law, your sons, to be part of Bear's Man Cave. Usually, actually, it's 18 and up is who's allowed to be a member. Go to deepadventure.com, and there's a little button that says don't enter, danger, warning. Hit that button and you'll learn more about the cave. You know, King David had the Cave of Adullam, which is really the cave of rejects. When he was running from King Saul, he had to hide out in this cave, and all the rejects showed up, people who owed money, people who were on the run for maybe breaking the law, just every kind of misfit showed up. And that's who we are at the Man Cave. We're just a bunch of misfits, but those men who gathered with King David strengthened each other, encouraged each other, learned how to fight. They became King David's mighty band of warriors. And so come to the Man Cave, you know, and join with us and be, help us, you know, inspire us already, but be prepared that the other men there will also have a greater impact on your life. On, you may see things in a new perspective. There may be things that you're ashamed about or things you don't understand. And with the other men of the Man Cave, we're able to encourage each other. It's a secret Facebook group. We can't join it by going to Facebook. Go to deepadventure.com. And we have Zoom video chat meetups about every month. That's kind of a big thing now, but we've been doing it for a few years, and it's been really amazing the impact it's had on people's lives. We have our guest today, Keith Nestor. He was a Protestant pastor of a major church in his city, and he became a Catholic. And what did you tell people when you first had that conversion? How did you explain yourself to them?
Well, I just told him, I said, this is something that the Lord's been leading me into for a long time, and that I'm feeling called to become a Roman Catholic. And if they wanted to talk to me about it on a deeper level, I basically explained to them how, you know, in our situation, the things that were happening within our denomination were causing me to really dig back into the ultimate questions of authority and of the church.
What things were happening? What kind of questions came up?
Well, we were, so the Methodist Church, like a lot of of mainline Protestant denominations is going through a bit of an identity crisis when it comes to things like human sexuality and marriage and the scripture. And those, basically what was happening was we were seeing more and more division that was happening along those lines. And in our denomination, there's a conference every 4 years where basically the doctrine and teaching of the church can be changed according to whoever votes and how they vote. And people were starting just to blatantly disobey the teaching of our church. And their mindset was, well, this is my interpretation, and this is just what I'm going to do. And who are you to tell me what the Bible says about anything? And so I would have a lot of conversation with people where I would talk about, well, here's what the scripture says, and here's what the church has always taught. And they would say, well, that's your church. You know, it doesn't matter. It's all about what I think right here, right now, which caused me to really begin to look into the whole issue of authority. And how
which
do we
people know? Rebel against the concept of authority? Don't bring that up.
Absolutely.
Don't bring that up. You know, we might have to take over part of your city. You know what I mean?
yeah.
You know,
don't get me started. Yeah. I mean, the whole idea of authority is, I think, the most important issue when it comes to faith, because if we don't have a sense of authority, then we don't know really what the Christian faith even is, because we could just basically make up whatever we want to make up and call it whatever we want to call it. And if we're at the center of it and we're the ones calling the shots, even if we have a Bible, who cares? We can make the Bible say whatever we want it to say if we're the ones that get to say what it means. And what I was trying to find out was, well, what did Jesus say that it means? And what did he teach his earliest followers about that? And what was their role? And what I realized was I was on a different trajectory, Bear, because what I saw a lot happening in my culture was people who had the mindset that the job of the Christian church is to bring the message of the gospel for modern times in a way that makes sense to modern ears. And then invariably what happens is that gets the message changes.
Mm-hmm.
I'm all about sharing the message in a way people in modern times can understand, but we can't change the message.
Right.
And this whole idea of recognizing that the role of the church is not to adapt the message to the culture, but to preserve the message. Right? To preserve the truth of the gospel given by Christ to his apostles, to preserve that and present that, right? Preserve and present. That's when I started to realize, well, where are we? Who's doing that? It wasn't the mainline Protestants, I can tell you that right now. They weren't trying to preserve and present. They were trying to progress in what was happening. And that, of course, leads to chaos. And the more I dug into it and looked back into it, I realized that, you know, there is a church founded by Christ. There is a church given the deposit of faith by Jesus with the promise that the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And it's the Catholic Church. And once I realized that, you know, and experienced that, I had to do it.
How did you come to I was talking to someone the other day. People, I call it, well, you're going to be the Church of John Smith. You know, I have my interpretation, and God can faithfully tell me how to worship, what to do. But he tells the next person next to you something different. Well, they're wrong because I know this is what. In other words, it becomes not just the schism between Protestants and Catholics, but then 50,000 denominations. But now it's not even that. Everybody is their own individual church now. This is what I believe. You know, how did you come to understand the magisterium? How did you come to understand that Jesus had given a teaching authority?
Well, ultimately, because it's in the Bible. And when you look at Matthew 16 and you see Jesus beginning his church and he founds the church on the rock of Peter, you look at that, that's a verse that as a Protestant, I was trained to either ignore or interpret completely differently than most of Christianity has throughout history.
Yeah, you know, it's the strange uncle that comes around at Christmas time. You want to kind of ignore it, right?
Yeah, exactly. And I remember talking to one of my seminary professors about that and asking her, saying, well, what does this verse mean? Peter is the rock upon which the church Christ would build his church. And she said, well, we believe that verse is about Peter's faith.
Right.
And I said, well, the sources I'm reading and the apologetics of Roman Catholics that I'm reading are pointing back throughout history and saying that that's not what it means. So why do we believe differently? And when did we start? And she said, well, because we're Protestants. That was her answer.
So it's a circular logic. So
yeah, because we're Protestants. If we don't believe that, we have to be Catholics. And I was coming face to face with, you know, reading some of the earliest teachings of the church, Ignatius of Antioch, people like that, even reading like Augustine in the fourth century, you know, talking about the Bishop of Rome and the primacy of Rome and starting to understand these things, but then also reading just in the Gospels, how Christ said to his apostles, "He who hears you hears me." And how in the book of Acts, the apostles gathered together and elected a successor to Judas, and then how they gathered together at the Jerusalem Council and they wrestled through questions. And then what did they do, Barrett? They took that answer to those questions that came to them. It seemed good to us and the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Yes. And then they sent out Paul and Silas and the others with the explicit intent to deliver that message and decision to the rest of the churches.
And so then you, mm-hmm.
you don't see these churches just kind of off doing their own thing, going, well, over here we do it this way, over here we do it this way. No, the church in Jerusalem said, here's our decision, abide by it.
And you see,
that's authority.
Yeah, there was authority. You see Clement of Rome, the third bishop of Rome, the third pope, basically, writing a letter to Corinth, saying, as our brother Paul, you know, exhorted you, you know, he was correcting them, giving them fatherly correction, as St. Irenaeus of Lyon wrote, again, when he's writing against the Gnostic heresies, he was, you know, this is what I'm writing, but if anything in here conflicts with the teaching of Rome, you know, I submit to Rome. And so it's a scary thing to say, oh, well, there is church authority, you know, but that's where Jesus consoles us and says the gates of hell will not prevail against us. We've had a lot of scoundrels. We've had a lot of horrible popes. We've had a lot of horrible bishops and cardinals. But in spite of all of that, the teaching of the church has not changed. The truth of the church has prevailed. There was one particular pope who became a pope. I forget his name now, because he was going to support a certain heresy. I think it was the Arian heresy. After he became a pope, he totally flipped. You know, he couldn't do it. He couldn't proceed with that. So we're not saying that the men, the bishops, cardinals, priests, and popes are perfect. We do know that when the pope writes in a certain way, ex cathedra, that only at that moment is he infallible. But even then he can't write anything that's inconsistent with Catholic moral teaching and Catholic doctrinal teaching. Jesus was a builder, right, Keith?
Yeah.
And the very first thing you do is you build a foundation, and that's, he established an authority. And it's so interesting how you can just kind of say, well, yeah, Peter, that was just talking about his faith. You can, like, the same thing they talk about the Eucharist. You just, unless you eat of my body and drink of my blood, you can have no part of me. Well, that's not what Jesus really meant. Well, if it's not what he really meant and 5,000 people left him that day, maybe he should have put out another press release, you know?
I think that when people recognize that, their initial reaction is, oh, authority is a scary, bad thing. But actually, authority is a gift, because it keeps us from danger. You know, it keeps us from mass chaos. So it's something to be thankful for.
If you want to be a part of that, what is it, CHOP or whatever it is, you know, you can go into chaos and anarchy, or you can be under authority. And authority is so important. Remember, the man who had the most faith in all of Israel was a man who understood authority. He said, Jesus, will you heal my servant? And Jesus said, I'm on my way. And he said, no, it's not necessary that you come under my roof. Just speak the word and my servant will be healed, for I am a man under authority. And I have servants under me, and I say to one, go, and he goes, another one comes, and he comes. Just speak the word. Being under authority is a tremendous spiritual weapon, because Satan is the one who's a rebel. Satan's kingdom is run by intimidation and by rebellion, but when you're under the authority of the church, it's like a wall of protection around
Amen.
You. We talked with Keith Nestor, a recent Catholic convert whose ministry is just exploding. His book is called The Convert's Guide to Roman Catholicism. Where can they find you, Keith?
They can find me on YouTube at Keith Nestor. My website is downtoearthministry.org, downtoearthministry.org.
We'll be right back with more of the Bear Wozniak Adventure.
Hey, man, I don't want you to miss out on your free stuff at deepadventure.com. Go there and subscribe to our weekly email newsletter. You get free video content, including the Bear Wozniak radio show, video version on YouTube before it even airs on EWTN. And you can follow us on all of our social media. Go to deepadventure.com and subscribe. Get your free stuff. And if you're watching on YouTube, don't forget to press the subscribe button and ring that little bell. Don't miss out.
Deep Adventure Ministries is grateful to Notre Dame Federal Credit Union for underwriting the Bear Wozniak Adventure on EWTN. Notre Dame Federal Credit Union provides car loans, mortgages, SBA loans, and depository accounts nationwide, as well as 24-hour support. Go to deepadventure.com to find their link, or go to notredamefcu.com. Mahalo to Notre Dame Federal Credit Union for making the Bear Wozniak Adventure possible. Mahalo for your kokua in supporting us. Deep Adventure Ministries is grateful to you, our listeners, for supporting the Bear Wozniak Adventure radio show at deepadventure.com. We would not be able to bring you our radio show with its uniquely powerful and gritty outreach without your help. You can become part of our pack. You can support our ministry by going to patreon.com/Bear Wozniak, or by just going to deepadventure.com and clicking on the Patreon link and become a part of our outreach. That's deepadventure.com. Once again, mahalo for your kokua. Welcome back to the Bear Wozniak Adventure. I want to say a shout out to the mama bears out there. It's just so cool how often we hear from you. You go to our stores, you may be buying our Bears Man Cave cigars for your men or a t-shirt, and then all of a sudden you realize that we have things there for you too. We have this new thing that the Holy Spirit's been really speaking to us about. It's been interesting. Called the mama bears. There's nothing more fierce than a mama bear. And so we're beginning to develop an area of our ministry really to give you weapons to fight the good fight and to help communicate the gospel to your family and especially to the men in your lives. We're talking with Keith Nestor. He's a recent Catholic convert. Not that recent now. How's it been? A few years?
2017.
And he's written this book, The Convert's Guide to Roman Catholicism. Keith, what is God saying to men about their sons right now? When you see what's going on in the streets, it's like a bunch of sons who don't have fathers. That's what the way it strikes me.
I agree. I feel like what we're seeing right now is the result of the lack of fatherly discipline and really fatherly love, because what I'm seeing, to me anyway, looks a lot like a cry for love. We're crying out for love. We have this inner desire for justice. And when we see something that is representative of injustice, there's a part of us that wants to say, hey, wait a minute, that's not fair, that's not right. And we want the father to step in and make that right, okay? So that's one side of it. The other side of it is, if we don't get what we want, we're gonna throw a fit, and we're gonna rage, and we're gonna scream and freak out. And I feel like the father's job is to do both things. The father's job is to correct injustice, and to say, I'm going to dole out justice as a father. And the other thing is, the father is there to bring discipline and to bring safety, because people rage and they go nuts when they're cornered. And why do they do that? Because they're scared, because they don't have control. But when you have a loving father in your life that is basically says, it's okay, I've got this. You know, I think that's what we need more than anything. I think we need fathers to tell their sons and their daughters to say, look, I've got this. You don't need to freak out. You don't need to rage. You don't need to worry about injustice. I will protect you. I will take care of you, and I will guide you. And there's just a lot of people running around right now with no guidance because they're scared.
You know, often men, their focus so much is on making a living to provide for the family. And I get that, you know. From the moment I signed on as a young father, I became a hired gun, you know, wherever I could make the most money to help my family, you know. So you get so focused on your work that you tend to focus sometimes on the urgent things instead of the important things. Like, I'd love to come to your soccer game, but I got to do this. I'd love to coach your baseball team, but I've got to do this. I'd love to take you to church on Sundays, but daddy's tired on Sundays. You know, there's there's these urgent things that take the place of the important things. Eventually, though, if you don't take care of the important things, like spending time with your children, they're going to become urgent, and it's not going to be fun.
Amen. I think that people want to feel a part of something. They want their, to me, it's a lot about identity. It's like, where do you get your identity? And right now what we're seeing is people are gaining their identity being on either one side of an issue or another side of an issue. And you can see it. I mean, each identity has its, the way it speaks, the way it looks, the way it dresses. And the one thing that that has in common is they hate the other side. And why do young men in particular, I mean, young women too, but young men in particular, have this desire to be part of the tribe, you know, be part of a team, to be part of a group. And I really feel like when the father doesn't say, well, our family is our own identity, right? Like, here's what we do. Here's how we act as a family. Then that young man is going to go and seek that out in some other place. And then it's just going to be whoever has the loudest voice and is the most intimidating, because we get intimidated into being a part of certain things, don't we? You know, it's like, oh, well, you better do it this way, or you're going to be in trouble. You better go along with this with this way of thinking, or you're going to be, you know, ostracized or whatever. Whereas I think the fathers need to come along and say, look, this is who we are as a family. This is how we behave. This is how we take care of each other. And there's security in that. And when you have that security, then you don't get carried away by all this other stuff that happens.
I think so many men have been cowed into apologizing for their own existence. That's why, like my book, Deep Adventure, The Way of Heroic Virtue, it's for men and women, but it talks about virtue, you know, and manly virtue, heroic virtue. And if you're a man and you're struggling with what is God's will for my life, look, as we say in Hawaii, the kuleana that God has given you. What is your areas of responsibility? Focus on that.
Yeah.
What is the prior? What, just if you focus on your responsibilities and you look for the good in each of those situations, and then you not only will the good, but you do that through self-donation, you're going to see transformation within your family. Don't be afraid to be manly. That doesn't mean to be a chauvinistic jerk. We're not talking about that. A real man lays down his life for his family, but don't be afraid to be manly. You don't have to apologize for your existence. Get a backbone. My wife and I have been watching a series called 24, and there's a very weak president, and his wife just wants him to just get a backbone. Just, you know, make a decision. Even if it's the wrong one, make a decision. And so we're just saying, for men, if you spend time in prayer, if you're spending time with other men to get formed, young men, if you've been raised in a household where your mother hates men because your father betrayed her or didn't live up to the expectations, if you've been raised in a single home without a man, you need to become maybe a member of Knights of Columbus, or start going to men's conferences, go to a That Man Is You weekly program that you can find at a lot of your local churches. Go to our website. We can help you find it. You need to get around other men. If you find yourself looking in the mirror and wondering who you are, or even hating yourself because you're a man, God can help you understand who you are in Christ. But you gotta get with other men for that to happen.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, the culture, of course, is going to play on this, because the culture, what does the culture want? It wants our money, it wants our vote, and it wants our submission. Okay. So what the culture is going to do is it's going to tell you, you're going to be defined by, you know, who you listen to, what you buy, and you know, how you view the world according to certain political ideology. So the culture is going to try to instill those things in you, and then paint you in your corner and say, this is how you have to be. But what God can do, what godly fathers have the ability to do, is say, look, it doesn't matter what you look like, how much money you have, whether you have an Apple or a PC, whether you ride a Harley or a Kawasaki or whatever. What matters is, do you love Jesus? Are you part of God's family? And that's where your principal identity comes from. So like when you go to mass, you see all these dads with their little kids and their big families. What you're seeing there is really, and this is the way God designed it to be, what you're seeing there are moms and dads that are saying, look, this is our identity. Our identity isn't in what city we live in or what team we cheer for or what movies we watch. Our identity or what color our skin is or any of that kind of stuff. Our identity is found in the fact that we are God's precious sons and daughters. We're God's children that have been called by God to be in relationship with Him. And when we teach our children that, when we bring them up in the faith and we teach them that's their primary identity, then they become immune to all this other stuff that's running around.
That's right.
But the problem is, we don't have that. We have too many people that are just like dropped off and or abandon altogether. And it's like dads say to their kids, look, I'm providing a living for you or whatever. Now you go figure that stuff out on your own. So what do the kids do? They pick up their cell phones and they pick up their this and their that, and they let the world tell them who they're supposed to be instead of letting God tell them who they're supposed to be.
Right. There's nothing more important for men than that you be a father to your children. When you see a breakdown in community, it's usually in a community, it's usually because the fathers are not engaged with their sons, with their children, but especially with their sons. I see Cindy and I do this walk over to Fort DeRousse and we take a swim in the afternoon, and we see men walking that proud father with a little baby on his chest, you know, and we see a lot of fathers with their children. That's what real man is. And frankly, that's what real adventure is. The most adventurous thing you can do, man, is bring an eternal being into existence and nurture and father and protect and guide that child. So man, if you're confused and you're lost and you have that baby, that young child that you've kind of abandoned because you're too busy at your career, or you've left the family, left the woman to totally raise that child, get back to your kuleana, get back to your responsibility. As Pope Paul, his first book was Love and Responsibility. They go hand in hand. We're talking with Keith Nestor. Keith, where can they find you again?
The best place to find me is my website, which is down2earthministry.org, or you can go on my YouTube channel, which is just do a Keith Nestor channel search on YouTube and you'll find all kinds of stuff there.
And what's the name of your podcast, by the way?
It's called Catholic Feedback.
You don't have guests. You basically have write-in questions and you respond to them. Is that how it works?
Yep. People email questions to me and then I answer those questions, respond to them. And the purpose of the podcast is to communicate the eternal truths of the Catholic faith into our everyday lives. So to connect those two things.
So we're going to write some letters to him, try to stump Keith Nestor.
Bring it on, man. Bring it on.
You've been listening to the Bear Wozniak Adventure. I'm your adventure guide, Bear Wozniak. You can go to deepadventure.com. Subscribe to our email newsletter and you get a free audio book of my most recent book, Deep Adventure, The Way of Heroic Virtue. So don't want to miss out on that. Until next week, Keith, thanks for being with us.
Anytime, Bear. I really enjoy it.
Yeah, we'll have you on again. Until next week, may the breath of the Holy Spirit aloha you. Aloha.
You've been listening to the Bear Wozniak Adventure. Go to bearwoznik.com to get your free audio and other exciting content. Plus, you can pick up the Long Ride Home 10-episode DVD set, autographed copies of Bear's books, Long Ride Home shirts, tanks, coffee cups, and even motorcycle pins and patches. And find out how guys can sign up for Bear's Man Cave online Facebook group, all at bearwoznik.com.
Finding someone on an online Catholic dating site shouldn't be like shopping for a blender. So why do most dating sites leave you feeling like you're shopping for a spouse? At Catholic Singles, we connect members through our unique user polls and activities, which help you discover other members and their personalities and interests. Because you're a person, not a profile picture. So stop shopping and start discerning. Trust your love story to the original Catholic dating site and use the promo code BREADBOX at checkout for 20% off at CatholicSingles.com.